Hi everyone, welcome back to English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Angeline.
So yesterday we talked about what happens in the book Something's Missing.
Right, Jingjin wakes up in the morning and sees her grandfather looking for something.
Under her bed,
yeah,
in fact.
Yeah, under her bed.
She wants to help her grandpa and find what's missing because something is missing, but there's one problem.
What's the problem? Well, Jingjin and her grandfather don't speak the same language.
Ah, so she speaks Chinese, but her grandpa doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so her grandfather has to act out what he's looking for, and Jingjin takes notes, she draws pictures, and then she goes around her neighborhood trying to retrieve what her grandfather is looking for.
So Jingjin speaks to many people, but doesn't know what her grandfather is looking for in the end.
Yeah, still no idea. No. She's showing pictures, she's doing actions. No one seems to understand. Finally, luckily, readers find out what it was when Jingjin gets home. What was it?
It was the family cat.
Oh, cats are always walking off and going for walks and disappearing. But the cat came back and now Grandpa is happy. Everybody's happy. So today's article is going to focus on who wrote this book and what it's all about and why they did it. Let's read through the article.
Reading.Something's Missing, a look into Taiwan's past. The author of Something's Missing, Guo Yu, is brothers with its illustrator, Liang Gan. They own a business called Buddy Make Studio. In 2014, Yuan Liu Publishing Company asked the pair to create a children's book. Guo Yu and Liang Gan agreed, spending a year on the story itself,and another on its bright and detailed illustrations. They released the book in 2016. Like all of the brothers' previous works, Something's Missing was influenced by their childhoods. They were also inspired by what Taiwan was like from the 1960s to the 1980s. Guo Yu and Liang Gan feel these time periods best portrayed the originality of Taiwan. They want to preserve the feeling of these decades through their pages. That's why, as Jingjin explores her town, each page features a typical street view from the past. The story also shows how connected all of the townspeople are with one another. The people Jingjin visits know her family members,and give her presents to bring home. This reflects how hospitable Taiwanese people traditionally are. By including these elements, the brothers hope they can capture a part of the island's history to share with future generations.
Okay, so the article begins, the author, that's the writer of Something's Missing, Guo Yu,is brothers with its illustrator, Liang Gan. I think I'm pronouncing that right, okay?
Uh-huh.
So they are these two guys, they're brothers, okay? And they own a business called Buddy Make Studio, okay? So this phrase, to be brothers with, this is just another way of saying that these two people are brothers, this person is your brother.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I am brothers with Simon and Tim.
Your brothers.
You've got a brother, right?
I have a brother, yeah. His name is Amos.
Okay, yeah. So there we go. Now, in that sentence, we also use the word studio. S-T-U-D-I-O, studio. And the word has, well, many, many uses. Okay?
Yeah, actually.
A studio is a room where an artist works. Okay, that's one. It's a room where sound recordings are made. It's a room where movies are produced, in which case it's a big room. It's where performers can practice,where TV shows are made and so on. The word studio can also mean a whole company that produces movies, like Marvel Studios or things like that, okay? Here, It's the name of a company, Buddy Makes Studios, but it probably means a space for artists because there's a book writer, there's an illustrator, they've probably got a room where they have all their stuff,
yeah.
and they do all their work, so it's kind of like an artist studio.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example sentence. The artist studio is covered with half-finished paintings and sketches.
Our article says, in 2014...Yuan Liu Publishing mm-hmm. Company asked the pair to create a children's book.
Okay, so we've got a publishing company.
A
publishing company, these are the people who will take an idea and they will kind of make it into a book, they will print it, they will do all the work, that kind of thing. So, like, you, give me your book and we'll do the rest.So, Guo Yu and Liang Gan agreed,
mm-hmm.
okay, spending a year on the story itself...and another on its bright and detailed illustrations. Illustrations is another word for pictures. Oh.
So it took 2 years?
It took two years. Because they've got to figure out, write the story, make sure the story's good.
Mm-hmm.
You go through a lot of changes. You write it and then you read it and go, I think we can make this better. And then they have to do a year of making the pictures right. And then maybe they go, well, this picture might look better with different words.
So it changes and it takes a while. Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at that word detailed. It's spelled D-E-T-A-I-L-E-D. Detailed. Something that is detailed has a lot of details and facts in it. We can also use detailed to mean something that has a lot of little decorations and other details on it. For example, if you gave a detailed description of someone, you would say lots of things about what they look like or what it looked like. Here's an example sentence. The illustrations are very detailed and include lots of little things for students to look at. Okay, let's get back to our article. The next sentence is, they released the book in 2016.
The verb release, R-E-L-E-A-S-E, means to make something available for the public.
Mm-hmm.
We can also use the word publish, right?
When we're talking about a book, yeah, yeah. But we could also use the word release, I guess, for albums.
CDs, right?
Yeah, movies. When's that movie mm-hmm. going to be released? When's the board game or some... When's the new iPhone going to be released?
Yeah.
So publish is just for books, which we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Here's an example sentence for the word release.Fans can't wait for the release of the band's new album this summer.
Oh, I always get excited when I know one of my favorite bands mm-hmm. is getting an album ready. And then it comes and you're like, yes, I can finally buy it and listen to it and have fun. They post about it on Facebook now, so you can kind of get a teaser and you go, oh, yes, they're doing a new album. Okay. Now, the article goes on to say, like all of the brothers' previous works, Something's Missing was influenced by their childhoods.Here we're using the transition like, so which means in the same way as their uh-huh. other books. So this book is influenced by their childhoods, and so were the ones they'd written before. Okay, works here just means books or other things they've done. And it's all, and it, like their previous works, all by their childhood. Previous is a word that's spelled P-R-E-V-I-O-U-S, previous, and it describes something that came before or just earlier in time than what we're currently talking about.
Hmm.
So we've got this book that's in 2016,
mm-hmm.
so any previous books would have come earlier than that. Here's an example sentence. In the previous book, one of the main characters seemed to have been killed. But no one is really sure whether he's dead or not. We'll have to read the next book to find out.
Oh.
That kind of thing, like, did he die? What? No, wait, the book's ended. I don't know if he lived or died. So that's happened in the previous book before. So the next one, you have to read it to really find out.
Okay, we also learned that they were also inspired by what Taiwan was like from the 1960s to the 1980s.
Okay, so here's where we get a bit more idea of it's, this book is set in Taiwan, mm-hmm. Junjun and her grandpa and all that. That was all in Taiwan, which is why she speaks Chinese and her grandpa doesn't. Mm-hmm. Remember, like we were saying way back in the introduction to day one, things like people who don't speak Chinese, even though they're from Taiwan.
Oh, because of, you know...
Because they
the war before.
It was, previous. It's all to do with previous, before. Now, Guoyu and Liangan feel these time periods, that's from the 60s to the 80s when they were growing up, these time periods best portrayed the originality of Taiwan. So they picked, okay, we want to set it in this time, mm-hmm. but why? Because it portrayed the originality of Taiwan. The verb portray is spelled P-O-R-T-R-A-Y, portray, and it's to show what someone or something is like in a work of art or literature. So you use a painting or a book to kind of show what somebody or something was like. Mm. For example, actors portray real people from history. They also portray made-up people in movies. And the way a person is described in a book or a news report, this is how they are portrayed. Mm. Yeah, exactly. Here we're using a time period in Taiwan's history to portray, meaning show, describe, represent, a quality of Taiwan. Okay, its originality. This means they, looking at this particular time, the 60s mm-hmm. to the 80s, they go, that time, that really showed Taiwan's originality in the best way. Hmm. Let's set the book there. Here's an example sentence. The actor read a lot about the king in order to portray him properly. Oh. Now, here we're portraying the originality, so mm-hmm. let's take a look at that word.
The word originality is a noun. If something is new and interesting in a way that is different from anything that has existed before, it has originality. Artists are often praised for their originality. Generally speaking, the more unique something is, the more people are attracted to it because it's new. So that's why originality is a good thing.
Yeah, that's right. People don't want to say, oh, I've already read this kind of story. Mm. This kind of thing is a little bit boring. So here we want to show Taiwan's originality. So I guess that's what makes Taiwan different, what makes it special, mm-hmm. what makes it unique and not like any other country or thing like that. And they say during the 60s to the 80s, that was the time when you could go, this is Taiwan, and it's very different from other places. Okay, back to our article, which says they want to preserve the feeling of these decades through their pages. Okay, here we're using through to mean by using. Mm, so they're using the drawings, the words to capture the feeling and preserve, which means to kind of keep the memory alive of these decades. Mm-hmm. Now, the word decade is spelled D-E-C-A-D-E, decade, and normally we just use it to mean a period of 10 years. Okay, so, you know, 2005 to 2015, that's a decade. But we also use the word to mean these little periods of history, the 1960s, the 80s, the 90s, and so on, because it's from 0 to 9, so we go, okay, that's a nice decade there. And you can also think of the music from that decade.
From that decade.
And the style from that decade of clothes.
Can you say I'm 3 decades old?
You could. It's kind of unusual. It would make sense and you go, okay, that person is somewhere around 30. But, you know, you can... We don't use decade often for talking about how old you are. Mm. It's more about history or the time that's passed. So here's an example mm-hmm. for decades. You can often look at pictures of old fashion shows and guess which decade the style is from. Mm. So you go, okay, that looks like the 60s. Mm. That looks like the 80s. You know, or listen to some music. This sounds like it's from the 1980s. Mm-hmm. Something like that. We could also say Pat has been in Taiwan for almost a whole decade.
You've been here for almost 10 years.
Wow. So that's another way we can use it.
Mm-hmm. Going back to our article, it says, that's why, as Junjun explores her town, each page features a typical street view from the past.
Oh, really
so
cool.
Each page looks like a time period?
Or more like a street that would be common in Taiwan at that time. You know, the night markets. We saw the temples, the stalls, and so on. The article then says, the story also shows how connected all of the townspeople are with one another.
So there's like a feeling of community.
That's right. They're all, you know, this guy knows this guy, and they know this guy, and he shops here, and they buy drinks from that stall, and they live next door to each other, that kind of thing.
I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Our article says, what's, the people Junjun visits know her family members and give her presents to bring home.
Oh, that's really nice.
So I guess when Junjun shows up at the tailor shop or at the temple, people know who she is.
So, hey, Junjun.
And then they give her something so that she can bring home.
Give this to your mom. You know, or hey, share this with your granddad, or tell him that, you know, Pete said hi, or something like that. Okay, and this this idea of giving gifts and knowing each other and being nice, this reflects how hospitable Taiwanese people traditionally are. So let's take a quick look here at the word hospitable. Hospitable is spelled H-O-S-P-I-T-A-B-L-E, hospitable, and it means friendly and welcoming to guests and visitors. So people who come into your house or come into your town and you're really friendly and say, hi, sit down, do you want a drink? That is being hospitable.
Our article says, by including these elements, the brothers hope they can capture a part of the island's history to share with future generations.
Okay, we should just explain elements meaning the different parts of something. So the friendliness, you know, the hospitable nature of people, these old street views, all of these are different elements. The pictures, the writing, they're different elements of the book.
Yes. And we also saw our final vocabulary word, capture, C-A-P-T-U-R-E, capture. So to capture something means to describe or show something in a very accurate way by using writing, painting, or film. It kind of means the same as portray, sort of,
a little bit, yeah. Capture's got that other meaning, which is to kind of grab somebody and like put them in prison or not let them get away. So here it's capturing a feeling or an image or just kind of, okay, freeze it. Okay, now we can keep it and we can look back at it and it will tell us everything we need to know about that thing. Like pictures at, you know, a special event could capture how happy everybody was or all the fun people were having or, you know, how we felt on that day.
Yeah. Let's use it in an example sentence. The painter captured the beauty of the landscape through her painting.
Okay.
So she painted something that looked exactly like what she could see.
Yeah, so anyone who looked at the picture would think just like, wow, that's it. That's really what it feels to be there. So here we're talking about using all these different pictures so that people, because people now, you know, young people now, they won't know what Taiwan was like at that time. They won't really remember it. But by looking through this book, they can get a feel of what Taiwan was like when their parents and their grandparents were a lot younger. They can go, wow, this is really Taiwan.
Yeah.
This is how Taiwan was. And there are lots of important things like, again, friendliness, hospitality, everybody being connected in a community. Those are the things they've captured. And those are the things we want to give to future generations.
So that they can preserve this tradition,
and keep them alive.
This culture.
Yeah, generations just means the kind of the next level under of the family, okay? So grandparents, that's one generation. Parents, that's another. Children, that's another. And their children would be the next generation, okay? So this kind of maybe about a 20, 25-year gap between each one, depending, that sort of thing. Okay, well, that is the end of our article. That's all our description about the book and the people who wrote it and why, which means it's time to go to today's For You Chat question.
For You Chat.
So our chat question today is, what's your favorite time period? Why?
Okay, now, I guess we could talk about what's your favorite time period to read about or study.
Ah, okay.
So, in which case, I've got loads. I like history, so I love reading about anything from ancient Rome.
Okay.
I enjoy reading about the Middle Ages. I find American sort of history of the late 19th and early 20th century very fascinating.
Wow.
So there are all these different time periods that I like reading about. In terms of which ones I've lived through, I miss the 90s.
Do you miss the 90s? How old were you around when you were 90?
Let's see.
When you were 90.
It would have been between the ages of 10 and 20. I was born in 1981, so I kind of turned 9, 10 years old at that point, and then when I left it, I was 19 years old sort of thing. So that's my teenage years. That's my growing up. So all my favorite bands are 90s bands. Probably the way I dress is probably still pretty 1990s. Something like that. How about you?
My favorite time period would be now.
Now?
Yeah.
You like now? you live in the here and now.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 2000s. Is that how you would call it? Because we would say 90s.
Some people say the noughties.
The noughties?
The naughty, because it's naught, like zero, naught.
Oh, and
it's also got the kind of funny meaning that it was a bit naughty.
Oh, yeah.
So the noughties, some people say. What I'm struggling with is what do we call this decade?
That's true.
Is it the tens, the teens? Next decade, it gets easy. 20s again.
Yeah.
But we don't know what to call this one. So you grew up during the noughties.
The noughties. And then I didn't really like my life during that time.
Aww.
But I did. But it's nostalgic for me, you know?
Means you look back and you remember it fondly.
Yeah, and there's like, you know, the boy bands, like Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls.
They were 90s.
Were they 90s?
Spice Girls were 90s.
Okay, fine, 90s.
You're a 90s girl.
Were they really 90s?
They were. You're older than you think. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
Right, well, that is the end of our article. Angeline's going to beat me up just in a moment. Thanks for watching, everybody. For English for You, I'm Pat.
And I'm Angeline.
We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Something's Missing. A look into Taiwan's past. The author of Something's Missing, Guo Yu, is brothers with its illustrator, Liang Gan. They own a business called Buddy Make Studio. In 2014, Yuan Liu Publishing Company asked the pair to create a children's book. Guo Yu and Liang Gan agreed, spending a year on the story itself and another on its bright and detailed illustrations. They released the book in 2016. Like all of the brothers' previous works, Something's Missing was influenced by their childhoods. They were also inspired by what Taiwan was like from the 1960s to the 1980s. Guo Yu and Liang Gan feel these time periods best portrayed the originality of Taiwan. They want to preserve the feeling of these decades through their pages. That's why, as Jun Jun explores her town, each page features a typical street view from the past. The story also shows how connected all of the townspeople are with one another. The people Jun Jun visits know her family members and give her presents to bring home. This reflects how hospitable Taiwanese people traditionally are. By including these elements, the brothers hope they can capture a part of the island's history to share with future generations.
Vocabulary Review. Studio. The band went to the studio to start recording their new album. Detailed. The witness's description of the criminal was helpful to the police, as it was very detailed. Release. The author's publishing company released her new book in several bookstores. Previous. Veronica was confused by what was happening in the film, so she rewatched the previous scene. Portray. The actor did a great job at portraying the king's greed in the play. Capture. The story really captured what daily life was like for people a century ago.